It's now my pleasure to introduce David Page. As Jennifer mentioned, he's stepping in for Dr. Hebert, which I think is pretty impressive. Like the night before, to all of a sudden be handed the slide deck and say, would you mind presenting this? David is the Executive Director of the Canadian Hemophilia Society. He's one of the founders of the NRBDO, and he is the guru for all patient groups to go to. His understanding of the issues that we face is amazing, and he is passionate for the vision of comprehensive care for all rare blood disorders. David.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Jacques Hébert. Merci pour l'invitation. Thank you for the invitation. I only have three qualifications to be up here. One is that I saw the slides 24 hours in advance. Nobody else did. I live in Quebec City, like Jacques, and I can identify all the landmarks, the beautiful landmarks that are in his presentation. This is Chateau Frontenac. Tonight, it's supposed to snow. Seriously, I'll do my best. Oh, and I have my colleagues from Quebec City, if they can put up their hands, courageously, Charles and Martin from Quebec City, who know much more about the clinic than I do, and they're agreed to answer any questions, so don't ask me questions, please ask them. So I'll skip this. We've heard a lot about PID, and you don't want me talking about the medical issues around that. This really impressed me when I looked at it yesterday. I probably should have known this. This is the estimate of the prevalence in Canada: 15,000 patients. Oh yeah, I have to do both. This is going to be, you know, talking and chewing gum at the same time. 15,000 patients, and I don't know how many are treated. Somebody probably knows this, but it. This might give us an idea. Jacques estimates that there are 15,000 patients in Canada, 10% with the diagnosis. And of those 10%, only half of them are getting treatment, which means 95% of people with PID are not getting treatment. So message to CBS and Héma-Québec, you know, if you think you can, you know, turn the curve of IVIG utilization until there's some major breakthrough, it's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen for a very good reason. As we continue to diagnose people and give them the treatment that they need, it will require more IVIG. Now, I think I recognize that PID users are not the biggest users in terms of volume, but nevertheless. A little history. And I think a lot of us were there in 2006. The first conference was just about the time that sub-Q IG was approved in Canada and introduced into Quebec. So if we look back 11 years, we can say that there's been a huge amount of progress. What Jacques really wanted to talk about was his clinic. And it's been going for, well, I think he tells us how long. Well, somewhere he'll tell us how long. But it's been going on for 10, 15, 20 years at least, somewhat modeled on the hemophilia model. So there's certainly medical side to it. I like this graph, which really shows how patients are at the center of treatment. The patient association has a role to play in trying to advocate and put treatment in place. And the nurse coordinator, and how many times have we heard that today? I don't know, maybe 20 or 25. It's the same in hemophilia. It's the same in all of these specialized centers of excellence. The nurse is the pivotal person who makes things work. Jacques mentioned some of the other kinds of specialists that we need related to PID, including genetics and laboratory. His clinic has access to ear, nose, and throat, to GI, dermatology, hematology. He has infusion clinics 2 days per week for IV infusions for those who aren't on home care. Very impressively, he has a hotline 24/7, as Stephen mentioned earlier. So that's really important in terms of he treats HAE as well. So that's where some of the some of the more urgent calls may come from. I think there's a very close connection in Quebec between some of these specialized clinics and Héma-Québec. And there's a chargé transfusionnel in Héma-Québec. These are the people who really look at some of the adverse reactions to transfusions, and they're followed quite closely. So very close links between the nurse who does the orders from the blood bank, products come from Héma-Québec, and the pharmacy may be involved. So this is shown graphically. There's the nurse coordinator, as we've heard before, provides a lot of the program support for patients. So a lot of the teaching, supplying the drugs, really giving that support in terms of IV training or sub-Q training. They have criteria for home therapy. Not everybody there are criteria for teaching. Communications between the nurse and the patients is very important. One of the problems, I don't know if it's the same in PID as it is in hemophilia, but one of the problems we have with the administrators in hospitals is they go, why should we give you resources? There's nobody there. And the idea is that nobody comes to the clinic. You want them to stay at home. You don't want to ever see them except for once a year. That's a successful clinic. But it doesn't really impress administrators. They go, why should I give you resources? This I can talk about. This is the Quebec Bridge, the Ponts of Quebec, and it's one of only two cantilevered structures of its kind in the world, the other one being in the First of Forth in Scotland. This one may fall soon because it needs a paint job. It's outrageous. Half the bridge is painted, the other is not. CN owns it. If you have shares in CN, please get them to paint the bridge. The next part is why choose subcutaneous infusion, and these are Jacques' reasons for that in yellow. Obviously, no venous access. We're just starting to dream of this in hemophilia. Right until now, we've had IV infusions only, and now on the horizon are sub-Q infusions, and everyone dreams of that day. In a PID, it maintains more consistent IgG levels, eliminates the low troughs, and here's the graph of that. So it's much better to go straight across than up and down and up and down. Clinical efficacy is recognized, and the annual rate of infections is, as good, if not better. And here, I found this interesting. Here's the annual rate of infections by month. And if you look, I think under month 11, November 18th, that's today. This is the worst time to get everybody together. But, this is when we planned. So November is the darkest month, and I guess it's, when fall is coming and people are most prone to infections. Excellent safety profile with sub-Q. So I have to interpret this as best I can. The yellow is IV infusions, very high. The green is intramuscular. I don't think they do that anymore. And then the sub-Q, I'm not sure if it's the little red bar at the bottom. It's supposed to be the blue bar. So the blue bar could be because we can't see it because there are none. Anyway, very low number of adverse events with sub-Q. And finally, it facilitates self or home infusion, increasing patient autonomy. It may improve the patient's self-image and sense of control. And less expensive for the society and for patients. And here's some data on that. So this is a number of studies on comparison of IV hospital-based infusions to sub-Q home-based infusions, four different studies. I'm not sure why the Haddad one is higher, but maybe someone can answer that in the question period. So again, savings across the board, not only for the patient, but also for the healthcare system. And here's the CADTH report. This is, I think, at the time of sub-Q introduction, economy of $9 million Canadian per year if 75% of the patients on IVIG switched to sub-Q. And economy of $700 for the patient. And here we go into a subject which is brand new to me, the push versus pump techniques. So I did get some advice from Martin and Charles and Jacques before I came up here, so hopefully I won't completely mess it up. So the home therapy program, there are criteria for entry. There's a whole planning, teaching, supply, follow-up aspect to it. You know, I think the nurses make sure that this can be done safely and effectively in the home context. There's a contract which involves reporting back to, in terms of the usage. And traceability, and this is one further reason, if anybody in the audience is considering moving blood products out of the Héma-Québec CBS budgets into hospital-based, traceability would become a nightmare. And these are products that do cause adverse events, and they're biological products. Héma-Québec and CBS, along with the hemovigilance systems, have great experience now in following adverse events. And I think if it went to the hospitals, it would be disastrous. They can also ensure supply in remote areas. So they have a whole system, of course, for red cells and platelets to be delivered in hospitals across the province or the provinces. And to be able to do this with all of the stable products like IG, C1 esterase, and the hemophilia products is important. They have procedures for adverse events, and they have procedures for recalls. We talked a bit about this before, the teaching and supervision aspect of the center. That's what their job is. And I won't go into all the details of that. And the pump versus push method. So I think many of the patients with the home sub-Q use a pump method, which is fairly expensive. And Jacques, I think, is talking here about some of the advantages of just using the syringe method, which where you push without a pump, it saves money for the patients. This is a young girl. And he also talks about changing the frequency with the push method. So rather than once a week, he's talking about every day, every 2 or 3 days or 5 days a week instead of the weekly dose. We have experience with that in hemophilia, where some patients have chosen daily doses of factor VIII as opposed to 3 times a week or twice a week. And it turns out that it's highly effective. The trough levels are much higher, bleeding is less, and utilization is lower because you don't need the big high peaks. So this is I guess something that Jacques is researching, and perhaps we can hear more about that in the question period. This is the push method with a syringe. Why choose the push method? From a health authority point of view, it's less expensive. If the health authority has to assume the cost related to pumps, and from the patient point of view, it's reliable, simpler, and faster. So, back to the beginning, the patient at the center of care, patient association taking a key role, nurse being essential and critical, with support of a number of different kinds of physicians. And I think Stephen was talking about the importance of research. You know, research requires a network. The patients are rare. If you have a single clinic, you can't do much research. You have to have a whole network across the country with a registry to be able to start doing research. And this is the Port du Québec. This is right near Old Quebec. And the green light, I'm not quite sure what it is. I think it's the green light to go ahead further and push forward for comprehensive care. Okay?